Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this June night, this Monday night, that we are coming to you again with Iron Sharpening Iron through the Ministries of Smile 3E, which is presented to you every Monday night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time or 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your host on tonight, Minister Sylvia Kaiser. I would like to say we welcome you once. We welcome you twice. We welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ. We welcome to you to sitting in or standing in or wherever you at to the program on tonight. I would like to say this Monday night is kind of cool in Chicago. A lot of things are going on. And I would like to also let you know you could call into Blog Talk at any Monday at 310-861-2354. So before we get into anything, I would like for us to pray. Lord God, we come to you on tonight. We're asking you to forgive us of every sin, God, willingly, unwillingly, knowingly, and unknowingly. God, we ask you to forgive us for today's sin, because every day is a new day, and we don't know when our last day is. We know our day of birth, but we don't know our day of death. So, God, for us coming to you on today, asking you again to forgive us and have mercy on us day in and day out, thank you for covering our loved ones. Thank you for covering our homes. Thank you for covering our jobs. Thank you for covering our children. Thank you for covering us from head to toe, front to back. Thank you for covering our footsteps, God. Thank you for covering our minds, that we are set in our right minds, God, with the ability to use our limbs. God, we just thank you on today, God. You know what's in our hearts, and there'll always be the same thing that come out of our mouth. God, let our spirit, let our bodies, and let our mouth and minds line up with your word, God, every way, every day, every hour. God, we're just asking you to just bless our president, make sure everybody that's in his ear, Lord, is speaking to him with wisdom that's from the word of God, from the Spirit of God, and it's about the people of God and the people of this world. God, I'm asking you to cover every man and woman of God that's out in the land, that's working, doing your will. I'm asking you to just cover every man and woman of God that's on this ministry line, weeks out, months out, years out. God, to just cover them and their family, cover their every need, God. Let them not go with anything of lack. God, I just ask you to just cover the body of Christ from head to toe. In Jesus' name it is so. Thank you for tuning in on tonight. Amen. After that prayer, God, I'm just thanking you for Apostle Sandra Thomas, Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Brandon Kaiser, Minister Dr. Serena Wright, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Servant Pastor Troy Thomas, Elder Kathy Kendall, Brandon Kaiser, if I had not mentioned him. I've just covered everyone that's ministering through these lines on a regular basis and those that are also stepping in. On tonight, we have a guest speaker, which is a guest for real, that's going to be coming to you. She's someone I know. She's someone that's very close to me. She's someone that I grew up with. To be perfectly honest, she's me, because Dr. Serena Wright had an emergency. She would not be able to minister on tonight. So I told her if need be, I would come in for her. I was not notified of anyone else. So I'm just going to say sit back. Let's touch and agree. We're going to just be talking about when God has put some of your answers before you. When you pray and ask God to change some things in your life, you can't play with your prayer, and you can't play with your prayer. When you're asking God to put some things in your life and take some things out of your life, whether those things are people or a person or something that you know that's just not right for you. Because everybody and everything in your life, sometimes, you know, we've heard them say, everything that shine is in gold. We've heard them say everything is not good for you, but sometimes certain people and certain things are not healthy for you. So you have to sit back and just say, God, give me the heart, give me the desire, give me the wish, the want, and the determination to get this or this person out of my life, because it's just not what it's cracked up to be. It's not pulling me to you, Lord. It's pulling me from you. So the word of God we know says, what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his whole soul in the end? We know that a lot of times we ask God to do some things, and sometimes we do it in a certain place. But I remember asking God to remove some people and some things out of my life because of the different prophecies that I was getting and the different men and women of God that were speaking into my life. And me knowing the truth, I was like, God, my life isn't lining up with what they're saying. You know, I remember a song we used to sing that say, I look much better in the future than I do right now. And I was saying, God, what they're speaking into my life and what I'm doing in my life is not lining up. I began to pray and ask God to save me and save me for real. And I said, God, please remove everything and everybody out of my life that's not supposed to be here. You know, I'm getting into the season years of my life. I'm getting into the latter part of my life. And I said, God, some things I know it's not supposed to be here, but for some reason, God, I'm still holding on to it or them. And I'm just want to be honest on today and just say that's how I had to come to God and just pray and say, God, I just need you to get my spirit right. You know, we know that the word of God says some water, but God gets the increase. We know some plant, some water, but God gets the increase. And I said, Lord, I want my life to be an increase when it comes to you. And I remember praying that and just ask God to just give me the heart to accept what he's doing, what he's going to do, and what he got to do to get me to be where he's calling me to be. So a little bit after that, a little time went past. I'll say about a year had went past. But before that year went past, I started noticing my, how we say in the world, my taste started to change for certain things and certain people. And I've noticed I started losing interest in certain things. And I'm not just talking about some things. I'm talking about things I love. Things I love doing. I used to tell people it wasn't just a habit. It was a passion that I had for what I was doing. It was something that I really looked forward to doing all the time. And I really had got to the point that it just went without thinking. I just did it. And I really, like I say, I loved doing it. So I remember one day I kind of woke up in that morning, and I was like, something was just different about me, or my spirit. Something was just different. I didn't wake up doing what I normally do. I kind of woke up saying, I'll get to that later. I'll do that later. But it was something I woke up doing every morning at the same time that I woke up. And this day I just didn't feel like doing it. So mind you, I didn't even do it later. So as the day went on, I went to sleep. The next day came. I woke up the same way. I didn't want to do it. So as the week went past, somebody called me and said, "Oh, I hadn't heard from you this week, and I didn't see you on Facebook, and I didn't see this or I didn't hear that." And I kind of like thought about it, like, "Wow, I didn't do it." So I started noticing things changing. My desires were starting to change. So I said all that to say this, that when I started seeing the difference in me with what I wanted and what I desired and what I was looking for, I started praying even more, saying, God, I just can't do nothing but just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I didn't think I can pull away from that. I didn't
think I had to, I could do without that. I didn't think that it would make such a big difference, or I just didn't think, God, that that had a hold on me like that, that when I stopped, as they say in the world, as I stopped looking for things and people stopped seeing me in certain areas and stopped hearing me say certain things, they started, like, looking for me, kind of like pulling on me. And I remember Apostle Sandra Thomas was preaching one Sunday, and she said that you have to be careful because the world don't want to let you go. The world loves its own, and the world will always be trying to pull you back into something. So I just had to learn how to keep praying and keep talking to God and keep remembering what my mom used to say to me and my sisters and my brothers sometimes. She'd say, what would profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? She would always say, a lot of times you hear people talking to you, baby. She said, but it ain't what you hear, it's what you don't hear. She said, it's a lot of times people say things to soothe you, to kind of smooth things over, or try to seduce you in the spirit. She said, but make sure when people talking to you, you praying and asking God to let you hear what they're not saying, not so much what they're saying. So as I would go through my everyday life, even now, I tell people all the time, I've learned to not hear what you're saying to me. I learned to hear what you're not saying, because a lot of times when people are talking, they're trying to select the right words and choose the right words, because there's certain things they don't want to say. And you have to have an ear to hear what people are trying to say to you in a slick way, because they're trying to say it, but they're not trying to say it. But not, what I mean by a slick way, when they're talking, you have to be able to hear what God is saying to you that you need to be listening for. So I remember being in a motorcycle club, and I would talk to the young ladies and in the club, and I would say to them, you know, in life you have to learn how to separate. When you're in leadership, you have to learn how to separate membership, because every member is not the same, and every member is not, can't be treated the same. You know, the Word of God says that some eat meat, but some are still on milk. You had to know your members that were meat eaters and the ones that were still drinking milk. In other words, you had to understand the members that you could talk strongly to and be honest with them, and then you had the members that sometimes you just had to say, you know, I'm going to handle this a little different, a little better. I'm going to go about it a certain way. And I would tell the members all the time, by me being the vice president of this club, of a prior club to that, I was the CEO, I can't just sit down and let you try to talk to me in a certain way, because you will think that you're being my friend, or I'm being friendly to you, that you can get away with doing certain things that I can't let you get away with because you feel that you my friend. But a lot of, I knew that you was only my friend because of my position. See, a lot of times we have to be careful of those friends that we know if we wasn't in a certain position, we wouldn't get the phone calls, we wouldn't get the conversation, we wouldn't get the smiles and stuff like that. Because just like they smile in your face, you don't know what's going on behind those eyes. You don't know what's going on in that heart. You don't know what's going on when they're away from you. Because if people think they can use you, they would use you and try to use you up. And I'm saying all that to say that even like in the body of Christ, the leaders have to be in a certain place where you may not always like what they're saying. You may not always like how they do things. But they're being led by God, because they're in front of God. They're talking to God. They're praying to God, and they're listening to God. He said no other voice will they obey, because his voice they know. So when you have leaders that have a membership or a congregation, whichever way you can understand it, you have to understand why the leaders are working in the way they are, because I have to be honest with you, not to the point that you think you're going to trick me or fool me, but I'm going to be honest with you whether you like it or not, because your blood can't be on my hands. It was a question asked to me last night, and I put it on Facebook today that said, I've learned in life that people have to understand, and I've shared this with people for many years, leadership has to separate membership, friendship, kinship, fakeship, businessship, and they have to separate that from, so they won't have a lot of baloney coming their way. They won't have a lot of people that's saying, well, you know, if you stroke her ego or you do this or you say that, you can get by. Leaders have to be able to say, you know what, while you're talking to me, they're praying and asking God to word their mouths to talk to you so that they don't hurt your feelings. But if they do hurt your feelings, that God has also gave them the right thing to say to come back and tell you, I've told you this out of the love of God. And sometimes people will receive what you're saying, and sometimes they won't. But if they don't, you keep praying about it, and God will heal you as well as heal them. Within time, some will get it immediately, but some won't, and some won't get it at all, because you have people that always want somebody else to do it, always are looking for somebody else to blame, always looking for somebody else to carry on. So when you are sitting back and you're in a leadership position or you're striving to be a leader, know the best thing you can be a leader is being honest. You can't be a leader for this person and you can't be a leader for that person. You have to be an all-around leader for everybody, because when Christ came and died on the cross for us, he didn't choose who he was going to die for. He chose to die for the sins of the world, and that included saved and unsaved. If you remember the two men on the cross, he died alongside them, with them, before them, but at the same time, he told one, he said he will remember him. So you have to know that when you are in this world, when you're not supposed to be a part of this world, but your life has to be the way God has chose you to live. Long as you live it the way God told you to live it, don't worry about what other people are saying. I've had people tell me I'm too blunt, obvious with them. But one thing I could tell you is that they know, don't ask me if they really don't want to know. Don't say it to me if they really don't want to deal with what's going to come behind it. Because you can't play with people out here. You have to just be so honest and so focused that you just say, God, sometimes I have to say to myself, God, did you tell me to say that or did I just say that? And, you know, I will end up saying, you know, I hope I didn't hurt your feelings and I hope I didn't say it the wrong way. But some things is just no way to put it but straightforward. You have to let people know how they're going to handle you. You have to let people know how far they can go with you. I tell anybody, if I hurt your feelings or I say something to you, please get me right there, because I may not know I've hurt your feelings, because you may be one of those people that I spoke on earlier. You can't take straightforward talk. I may not know that what I said rubbed you the wrong way, as they say, or irritated you. So we could need to talk about it, because I may say, well, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, but I did mean what I said. You know, because I'm not going to allow people to treat me, handle me, or work with me any kind of way. We either going to come to an understanding or we just not going to do it. You know, so when I decided to say, God, you know my spirit. You know what I need to have work, I need to work on. You know what I need to be delivered from. But I said, God, if you're not tired of delivering me, I'm not tired of being delivered, because I do know on a daily basis, just like his mercies is new, I need daily deliverance. You know, and one thing that I am willing and able to do is just say, God, I'm ready. You know, God, deal with me. God, work with me. God, help me. Because I know that I'm not perfect. The word of God said there's only one perfect. God is not a man that he should lie. And I don't believe that God would lie to me, have lied to me, or going to lie to me. God is not going to do that. And that's what I'm asking God to give me, that spirit that I don't offend anybody with not being honest to them or with them. If I don't have anything good to say, I'd rather not say it at all. You know, so like I said, I was in the motorcycle club, but I prayed and asked God to do with me and work with me where he wants to and he have to. And like I said, God took some things out of my life, and regardless how it happened, but when it happened, I had to sit back and say, that's nobody but God. You know, you don't fight with nobody. You don't beg nobody. And you don't sit back and like I say, let people handle you any kind of way. Sometimes God lets things happen because he needs it to happen that way that you will get it, definitely get it for real, especially when you pray and say, God, please make sure it's plain and simple that even a baby can understand it. So when God puts something plain and simple in your face and you have no choice but to realize what's going on, it's up to you. If you want to play with that thing, accept that thing, or act like you don't see that thing. But when God put that in my face and I saw what I saw, I said, that ain't nothing but God. That ain't nothing but God showing me right there that, yes, when he was talking to me in my dreams, yes, when he was sending word to me, it wasn't no mistake. It wasn't no something like it. He was saying just that. So since I was not able to see it in the first place, he made sure I saw it in the second, the third, and the last place. I'm talking to you. I said, let it go. Sometimes it's good to leave when you on top. Sometimes it's good to leave. No, I'm going to take that back. It's good to leave when you on top. It's good to leave when you know that your absence going to leave a wonder in the people. What I mean by that, I don't mean like leaving the church or nothing. No, that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you're leaving the world. When you're leaving the world and you're leaving some negative stuff and you're leaving negative people and things behind, you leave because people will say, why did they leave right there when they was on top, when they was in a high position, when they was doing this and they was doing that? It's good because then I was able to say, you know what, where you all are trying to take me, it costs too much. I told you my mama used to say, what profits a man to gain the world and lose his whole soul? The word of God also said, count up the cost. It was costing me too much. It was costing me to have to feel a certain way, and it was causing me because of certain things that was coming out of my mouth. It was causing me because my spirit was changing back. It was causing me because of my spirit was getting flip-flop. It caused me because I was becoming unstable. It caused me to say, you know what? This ain't how I was raised. This ain't what God has for me. It is time for me to go. I need to get about God's business. I did what I came to do. I came in this thing to for us to be followers of God. We were going to do it another way because it's... He said in his word that every tongue will confess, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings, that in at every highway and byway his word will be known, his name will be known. And when I started seeing that the highway I was traveling on had a detour, and it was like they were saying something like God, they was playing something like God, but they weren't doing it God's way. So when I started realizing what was really going on, I had to just say, God, take that desire out. Take that want. Take that wish. Take that need out.
that I feel that I need to be over here doing this. So I decided to say, Lord, your way, not my way. Let your will be done in my life. God, just teach me how to say, let my yea be yea, and let my nay be nay. You know, I've got some people in my family that God has gave the anointing and the blessings to sit down and talk with, as we say, kings and queens, that sit down and talk with the people that are in high places, to sit down and talk with the rich and famous, to sit down and talk with people on TV, and people have written books, and they've written books. And I have people like that in my family. But I had to also look back and say, okay, God, you bless my family with a ministry that no matter who you are, where you are, God has somebody that can get to you. And I said, okay, Lord, you've given me the ministry that I can go into these motorcycle clubs or be around these bikers and different other people, and I can talk to them and I can be seen. And when something happened, they'll call me and say, could you pray for me? Would you pray with me? Or we get together for a prayer visual. They'll call me to pray, you know. And I said, so when I started seeing what God was doing, I couldn't worry about what somebody else's ministry was. I once heard Apostle Thomas, my mom, my sister Cecilia, and a couple other family members say, be careful what you ask God for. Be careful when you say, God, I want to be just like her, because you don't know what their ministry costs. You don't know what they paid for that. You don't know what they went through for that. Be careful when you ask God for something. I once said to God, I said, God, give me the ministry you have for me, and give me the heart to like it, give me the heart to want it, and give me the heart to do it. Because where I be around, you don't have people walking up saying, hello, saints. Praise the Lord, saints. Ain't God good today? That ain't what you have. That's not the type of people I've been around majority of my life. So when I walk up and say, hello, how you all doing? You know, they walk up and say, how you doing? I say, well, God is good. God is good. Now, they know what I'm going to say, that it's not a surprise. Before, they used to be like, what's up with her? You know, when I first started going around many, 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 many years ago, you know, so now when people see me, they see it's something different. You know, they see that, they know I don't talk like the rest of them. I don't dress like the rest of them. I don't act like the rest of them. So they know now they can't treat me or approach me like the rest of them, because I tell them, no, 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 you won't handle me like that. You know, I'm not in this area one day, and then next week they see me in another area with somebody else. So it's like it's a way that you have to act out here in the world. And a lot of times when we administer to people and when we're talking to people, we don't let people know, I've been there, I've done that. But God can free, set free, bring out, keep out, and just leave other stuff out of your life if you just pray about it. But you keep praying about it and say, God, I can't do this without you. Because we know the devil's job is to kill, steal, and destroy. But we also know that right after God said his job is he comes to give life and give that more abundantly. So when I sat down and I started understanding and realizing that God didn't give me a man that rode motorcycles also. God didn't give me a man that was doing the things I like to do. God gave me a man that's the opposite of me, that I started learning how to like staying in the house. Because if anybody that know me, I don't like staying in the house. I'm not a house person. My father and my parents were very strict on us growing up. We couldn't be outside after the street lights came on. We couldn't have boys come to our house and see us until we got real grown, like out of high school. And then they could only come at a certain time. I remember my dad saying, I wish a boy would come up in here without a shirt on.
I wish your boy would come up in here with his Bradley shoes. If he was coming to see us, a guy came to see us, they had to come with respect. Wouldn't no blow the horn. Wouldn't no holler outside. They had to ring the doorbell and ask our father. They had to say, excuse me, Mr. Kaiser, how are you doing? Can I speak to such and such? And 9 out of 10, he said no and slammed the door. So it wasn't none of that we go down the street or around the corner or go sit on down the street on the school. We stayed by a high school. We could so sit on the school ground. My father didn't play that. And if we sat on the front porch, it better be some space between me and that person. Well, we had banisters. He had to be on the left or right side, and I had to be on the other side. With no sitting close together. My parents didn't play that because they live by the rules of Exodus 20 and 12. Honor thy mother and thy father. Yes, we were taught, that was the first thing we were taught, the first promise in the Bible to children. The first thing that God taught children about their parents in the beginning of the Bible, in the second book, Exodus 22. Honor thy mother and thy father, and thy days shall be long on this green earth that the Lord has given thee. That's what we were taught. We were taught how to handle ourselves. We were taught how to be handled. We were taught how to let people deal with us and handle us. We were taught to give respect, you get respect. We were taught if you had nothing good to say, don't say nothing. We were taught to honor God. We were taught to love God. We were taught that if you were praying, shut up and sit down. We were taught to keep our feet. That's how we were taught. We was not taught to handle God's people, handle God's word, or handle God's house any kind of way. We were taught to honor leadership. We were taught to honor the elders. We were taught to honor the members of the choir. We were taught to honor the women ministry. We were taught to honor the men in the church. We were taught that. So as I'm growing up, I remember my mom once said, I wouldn't give nothing to be young now. I wouldn't want to be young in this day and time for nothing in the world. I did not understand what my mama meant by that. I was like, Mama, you serious? You wouldn't want to be young? She said, no, baby, I wouldn't want to be young. Because a lot of y'all are going to die and go to hell because you think you're doing God a favor. You think you're doing it right. And I didn't understand what she was talking about, but like she kept telling me, baby, keep living. All this is going to come back to you one day, and you're going to look up to heaven and say, Mama, I thank you. And I'm saying that to who's ever listening. Keep living. You're going to look up one day and say, my God, my God. Them old folks knew what they was talking about. Y'all said don't take all that shouting and jumping, all that holy rolling. Yeah, baby, it take all that and some. See, some of y'all ain't been through nothing. Or some of y'all been going through something all your life. You don't know how to ask to say, God, bring me out. Let me see something different. Let me live something different. God, give me a different desire. Give me a different taste in my mouth. God, what are they talking about? Before I say it, don't take all that. God, give me a reason or an example to know that it does take all that. We were taught when adults talk, children don't sit in their face and listen. You, as they used to say, don't look down my throat. We were taught that when adults are talking, you are to be quiet and get up and get out the way. You are not a part of that conversation because you are not an adult. We were taught it was a different time and a different way. We were taught to say our grace over food. We were taught that if the parents had children, they would feed their children first. After they fed their husband, the women would feed their husband, and then they were children. Because one thing you know, when children are fed, they're quiet. If you got a child hollering and screaming and running and acting a fool, 9 out of 10, they're hungry. 9 out of 10, they're hungry. If they're not a baby, they may be wet and hungry. But we were taught to respect ourselves If once we gave all other respect, we were taught to respect ourselves. I mean, I look at a lot of things with the young people. Some of the things these girls wear, I don't even wear to bed. I mean, when I was younger, don't get me wrong. Oh, I wore my dresses. I wore my little halter tops. I wore my high pants, my Daisy Dukes. But I was the right size, appropriate size. Certain things I just didn't do. And I was in the streets. I just didn't do them. But some of the stuff I see now, where are the old people, the old women, the ones that used to pray, the ones that used to moan and used to groan? Where are the ones that used to teach the girls? You young ladies don't want to listen no more because they think they know everything. Half of y'all don't know nothing. I would like to ask some of y'all what is 144 times 144 and see if you know the answer. It's just sad that we don't put an emphasis on education. Our parents taught us education was everything. Education was the key. Not public aid. Not as I asked a young man, I say, well, what is it that the men are looking for in the women? And when he told me what he told me, my mouth fell open. I said, are you serious? I said, when we was growing up, we was taught that a man that smelled good and took pride in his appearance, kept his hair cut and himself groomed, shaved, or just lined up, clean shoes, and tried to get an education, worked hard, we was taught that's the true meaning of a man. And we were taught that women pulled their dress down over their knees and tried to keep themselves up and kept their hair calm and didn't have a whole lot of something in their head, like naps or, you know, at least try to be approachable appearance, that you the way you smell and the way you look, you know, and if you had an education, you could cook and clean and you took care of yourself and your family, your children if you had them. That's what we got an education. That's what we were taught. But nowadays, the guys say that they're looking for a girl with a checking interest. I said checking interest. I said, baby, what you mean by a checking interest? He said how big her monthly check is and how long her hair is. I said what? That's what it takes to get a girl there. That's what it takes for a girl to get got, as we used to say when I was younger, to get got. She have a nice public aid check or link card, and she got some inches, some long hair. I was wondering why these girls was looking for their hair past their waist down to their butt. It's because the guy's looking for inches. They kids running around here looking like somebody needs to get them a pre-soak before they give them a bath. Comb their hair, cut their hair, and give them some clothes that'll fit them. They can't get it because their mama's walking around here with this $800 to $900 worth of hair on their head, with the nails and the contacts in. Oh my God! It looked like everybody leggings have became national wear for women. They wear it all year long, all year round. You ask, tell them to get a dress for after five. They're gonna put on a see-through top and some leggings. Leggings ain't for everybody. I'm a big girl. I believe if you were size 12, 14, and up, leave those leggings in the store. Let somebody else buy them and wear them. If you wear them, make sure they under your pants or under a long dress. Leggings ain't for everybody, and I hope I ain't hurt nobody's feelings, but if I am, be for real. If you a big girl and you put on flowers, stop it. It look like the garden has never stopped. If you got on polka dots, it look like it's just a big Target somewhere. I'm just saying, because somebody needs to tell people what it needs to be done and how they need to go about doing it. Remember, my conversation tonight was about walking away from negativeness and negative people, and I hope that nobody took anything I said negative, because what I said was try to speak love and life into your life and let you know you don't have to put it out there to let it be out there, to stay out there, to hang out there for somebody to notice you. Because if you do that, when you get noticed, you're being noticed for one thing: a stop by, a drop by, and a drop off. So I just want to say
I'm going to ask Brandon, Minister Brandon Kaiser, to open the line. So if anybody would like to say anything, you know, if so, we're going to obey the comment to whatever you have to say. If not, we're going to just end the program on tonight and just pray for Dr. Serena Wright and Apostle Sandra Thomas and Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser, and just pray for everybody else that wants prayer. So, Brandon, could you open the lines? I'm assuming that the lines are open, so if anyone has anything they want to say. Minister Brandon, did you open the lines up? Okay, it seems that it's no one listening. What I'm going to start doing right now is to pray that God just cover Blog Talk Radio, cover Smile 3E, Lord. God, we're just asking you to just keep us in your will, in your way, God. We're asking you to just do for us what only you can do. Do for this ministry, Lord, that you have an order for this ministry to do. Keep every man and woman of God that's affiliated with this ministry, Lord. Keep them healed. Keep them posted. Keep them in hunger for your word and for your will, God. Keep them in the place that they know it's nobody but you, Lord. Lord, I'm just asking you to bless this ministry. Bring in every minister that you have assigned to this ministry. You have assigned to Apostle Cecilia Kaiser, God. I'm asking people to just cover her in prayer, P-R-A-Y. Just cover her in prayer. Cecilia does so much, God, and she don't ask anybody for anything, God. I'm asking you, Lord, to just let people that she know and don't know just walk up to her and just bless her. Just send her stuff in the mail, God. Let people just bless her that they don't even understand why they bless her. And let those that even know why they bless her, bless her, God. I'm asking you to just make a way for her, God. It's some things I know for myself she has on the table, God. I'm asking you to just cover her. Cover her at work, Lord. Cover her in her dues. Cover her in her ways. Cover her as she's flying. Cover her as she's driving. Cover her as she's walking. Cover her as she's sleeping. Cover her as she's going. Cover her when she's coming. Just cover her, God. Cover her, God, in your blood. Keep a hedge around her. God, I ask you to do the same for Apostle Sandra Thomas. Cover and heal, God. Let people just bless her out of the norm. Let people just come through and just say, like they do on the commercial, say, this is for you. God, I'm asking you to cover every man and woman that's touched by this ministry. Bless every man and woman of God that is affiliated again with this ministry. God, answer their prayers. Cover their family, Lord. Keep all harm, evil, danger, and death, perversion, and any and everything else that comes their way or try to come their way, God. I'm asking you to put a hedge around them to block everything, God. I'm asking you to cover my household, Lord. Cover my son. He's getting ready to go into his junior year of college, God. I thank you for the blessing. I thank you for the covering. I thank you for seeing him all the way through, God. I'm asking you to just keep a hedge on him. Keep a hedge around Minister Brandon Kaiser, God. Keep a covering over him, Lord, that in all of his dues, God, that he is well deserved. That everything and everybody that's affiliated in his life, God, make sure they honor him and respect him. God, I ask you these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. So, Minister Brandon, I'm going to say good night, and I'm going to say
thank you for allowing me to be the MC as well as the speaker on tonight. I want to say thank you all for calling in again. Please call back next Monday at 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I think next week we'll have another guest speaker. I know today was supposed to be Dr. Serena Wright. So our next Monday will be Servant Troy Thomas. Please call in and hear that awesome man of God speak. Please call in on Fridays and listen to Elder Kathy Kendall at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with God Still Heals. I'm asking you to call in on Sunday mornings from 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser with Let's Talk. That is their ministry. And don't forget our foundational scripture that we live by from Matthew 6 and 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Thank you all for listening in. Thank you all for tuning in and want to hear what the Word of God was saying to the body of Christ on tonight, and just listening and just keep us in your prayer. Thank you. Amen and good night.